Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 120 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. But since it is no doubt right before New Year's when you're listening to this, we decided to change things up a little bit and instead give you a bonus episode where we talk about all the things we're looking forward to in 2022.
Yeah, we had a huge year in 2021, which you know all about if you listen to episode 119. But 2022 has potential to be just as big or even bigger with all of these new things coming to the parks. And some of them I'm really excited about.
Same. Let's go ahead and get into it. If you want to follow along, you can head to attractionsmagazine.com/comingattractions, where you can see a list that we keep updated on everything that's coming over the next, honestly, like 3 to 4 years or so. Mm-hmm. And we keep it organized by date, which makes it easier for everyone.
Yeah, and there's actually a lot more on that page than we're even going to be able to get to in today's episode. We kind of are going to hit the highlights from the major parks, but there's some smaller things coming to like International Drive in Orlando that we're not even going to be able to get to. So it's a long list for 2022.
Oh, yes. kicking things off with Peppa Pig Theme Park, this will open in Florida on February 24th, 2022, and will be the first major opening of the year. We just talked about this in our big announcements of 2021 retrospective episode that you listened to last week. Very excited to see this. This is going to be a great park for the pre-K and under crowd and their parents.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being a hero to my nieces by getting them tickets to this, because yes. I think for a certain set of kids, Mickey Mouse, Dumbo, whoever, whatever, it's all about Peppa Pig.
Yes, you can tell them you're close personal friends with Peppa. And then coming up at SeaWorld and the Busch Gardens parks are going to have an insane spring, because literally all of their coasters that they are opening are happening in March.
Yeah. I mean, these are so long awaited is not the right word, because starting with Icebreaker, those of us who've been visiting SeaWorld Orlando have seen this thing practically finished for like a year at least. Yeah. The bar that is themed to the roller coaster has been open for quite a while, so we've been sitting there drinking and wondering when we'd finally get on this. It's kind of a unique coaster in the sense that it is a launch coaster that goes up a giant spike. It has backwards sections, but it's also not as intense as a, you know, Velocicoaster, for example. It's definitely meant to be kind of a mid-range, sort of family-friendly, stepping stone for tweens before they get up to their really big coasters.
Yeah, this one opens in February, though we don't have a date, like day and date set yet, just the month. Though I'm sure we will be hearing that at any time now between now and the start of the new year. And then we're going to kick on ahead to March 1st, which is the launch day for Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, the Cruise of Space, that is actually housed in a building that doesn't go anywhere.
I believe that this experience has probably had the quickest boomerang among social media, going from when it first got introduced, people saying, this is the greatest idea ever, I will spend any amount of money, please, 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 I want to do this, to with, you know, each piece of marketing that is put out, there are more and more people saying, this is a disaster, I'm canceling my reservation, this looks awful. It's really a shame. I think a lot of the hatred that's being dumped on it, I mean, we've seen for years with each new movie that Star Wars fans are mostly people who love to hate Star Wars. there's a definitely dysfunctional relationship with the brand among a certain subset of very vocal fans on the internet. I don't think all the hate that is being dumped on this based on the marketing materials is fair to the people in entertainment who I know, who are some of the most talented people in the country and the world, maybe, at doing interactive entertainment, at cosplay, at live action role playing. And I think that they are going to make an experience that's really amazing, but I don't have faith anymore that Disney's marketing knows the proper way to promote it, because every piece of marketing they put in is just cringeworthy.
Yeah. Most recently, they did a, it was part of the Christmas parade or the, kind of holiday thing.
And let's be fair. The holiday special, you know, it used to be the Disney Christmas parade. There hasn't been an actual parade part of it in years. It's, you know, a Christmas celebration, whatever. That special is always cringeworthy and is always just like shameless marketing that makes you just think, oh, who approved that? But this bit that they did with the Galactic Star Cruiser and the kid who plays Adam Goldberg on the Goldbergs was just very poorly conceived, and I don't think showed the product in a good light.
Yeah, we did get to see Gaia, who is the in Cruise Entertainment. She's a singer. She might be a spy for the Resistance. And she's also a Twi'lek, which is our first real encounter with an alien species character since, like, Star Wars Weekends, I guess you could say. But it just kind of showed her in a tiny bar, not on a stage or anything, just like there singing. And it just felt weird and cheap. And of course, the internet responded how they responded. And Disney promptly took that video and wiped it from everything. The only way you can see it now is, I think, a re-upload from someone on YouTube. But as far as Disney's official channels, it is nowhere to be found.
Yeah. The good news is that if you wanted a reservation and you weren't able to get one because they were sold out, there might be some availability now. So if you've got a spare $5,000 to $6,000 to spend on a 2-night vacation, Disney's operators, I'd say Disney's operators are standing by, but honestly, it's almost impossible to get through on any phone line to Disney these days. So try going online or calling a travel agent.
I would say I would like to try it, but $5,000 to try something that I don't even know if I will like is asking a lot.
The thing is that there's only 100 cabins, so this does not need thousands and thousands of people to be successful. At the price point they're charging, they can turn a profit, I think, with the number of people who are going to be willing and able to do it. The danger is, if this is really successful for them, if we're going to see more and more things that are, you know, basically giving us the stuff that we'd want to see in the theme parks and instead, you know, blocking them off behind the world's most expensive paywall.
Yeah.
And making these kind of things, you know, a lot of the stuff in the Galactic Star Cruiser looks great, but it was originally pitched as being part of Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
You know, the restaurant idea was going to be in Galaxy's Edge. The, you know, having meaningful interaction with characters was supposed to be part of Galaxy's Edge. And instead, it's all been put into an exclusive, you know, high dollar, you know, fenced off area. And I just hope we don't see that happening more and more.
Yeah. Next up, though, is Iron Gwazi, which is coming to Busch Gardens Tampa Bay in March 2022. Still no specific date on this one either, but I swear the Orlando theme park community is rabid for this roller coaster.
You know, I talked about last episode how much I love VelociCoaster, easily my favorite attraction of 2021. And probably now my favorite roller coaster in the Orlando area. If anything could dethrone it, it's going to be this one. It looks like they have taken what was objectively one of the worst roller coasters in the region Gwazi, when it was brand new, was never very smooth. When it was completely rehabilitated with new trains, it was never very smooth. And by the time they finally shut that monster down, it was a chiropractor's dream because people would walk right off of that ride and just collapse and need spinal surgery
Oh
from
my
how rough
God.
that thing was. The addition of these hybrid tracks to kind of transform this into an entirely new experience is something that I'm really excited about. I don't often take the drive all the way out to Tampa Bay, but I will be heading to Busch Gardens when this opens for sure.
Oh, yes. And the next step is, of course, let me get to it. Do, 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 do. We're skipping a lot, as you can
As you
see.
can see, there's so much stuff.
The Disney Wish, the biggest and most packed Disney cruise ship so far in the fleet. They're promising a lot. We will see if they deliver.
Yeah, we were gushing over this the last episode. This is also not going to be a cheap experience, but if I was given a choice between spending $6,000 on a couple days at Galactic Star Cruiser or spending about the same amount of money on a cruise on the new Disney Wish, I think I'd pick the Wish.
Yeah, me too.
Amazing new Star Wars themed, Marvel themed areas, stuff for adults and stuff for kids. And it's, the thing about the Disney cruise ships that really set them apart is the customer service. You get treated on a Disney cruise ship the way you used to get treated staying at a Disney hotel back in the 80s or the 90s. I don't think that the standards of Disney hospitality have necessarily been maintained at Walt Disney World the way they have consistently on the ships. You pay for a luxury experience and you absolutely get it.
Yeah, can't wait. Disney, if you're listening and you want two theme park podcasters to come do a media cruise, let us
We
know.
are willing to be influencers. We are willing
Yes.
to be influenced.
And we will in turn influence.
Totally shameless.
Yes. And then next up is Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, which is coming in summer 2022. I've been looking forward to this one for what feels like forever. There's still so much that we don't know. We've gotten concept art for the most part for everything, except for the occasional construction photo. And then I think there was a recent article in like Entertainment Weekly or something that talked about the ride and its contents, which did cause a little bit of controversy, I think, with a revision.
So we know one thing that will not be part of the ride or any audio animatronics. I think when we initially saw concept art of the pre-show, which is going to feature Groot and Rocket Raccoon, a lot of people were hopeful we were going to get a great animatronic, like they have the animatronic Rocket Raccoon at Guardians of the Galaxy and California Adventure. Apparently, all that's going to be on screens because the word animatronic was quietly deleted out of the article. So that's the bad news. But we do know we're going to have appearances from some of the actors from the movies, including Glenn Close returning as Nova Prime. And we know that we are getting the first backwards launch coaster and Disney Parks inside a massive show building, one of the longest ever inside roller coasters. And it's using a new type of ride vehicle that rotates, but it doesn't just spin freely and randomly. It turns like an omnimover to face you towards different show scenes or screens. To help tell the story as you're on the ride. So, we just heard a few days ago that they have begun internal testing. Some executives have ridden it. Of course, they said it was awesome and great. I wouldn't expect any of them to say it's terrible. But it's a good sign that human beings have been on the ride, and we've got a few more months at least before it opens. But I'm hoping. Summer 22 will be very early summer and not late summer.
Yeah, because summer falls anywhere between like late May to late September, basically.
Well, Disney, we've said how a Disney year lasts 18 months, so a Disney summer can last 6 months.
Yeah. But still, very excited, hoping it will be great. They are currently, like, almost wrapped, I think, per James Gunn's most recent tweets on Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which I think is where they've been shooting the footage for this as well. I think yesterday or this morning he posted they had 3 days left to go. So it's safe to assume that they are either finishing up or have already finished the footage for this attraction. And then more Avengers coming next summer to Walt Disney Studios Park at Disneyland Paris with their version of Avengers Campus.
Yeah, they are going to be getting the Spider-Man attraction, basically a clone of what we've got in California Adventure. But they've also rethemed what was their Rock and Roller Coaster to Iron Man.
Yes.
So that should be interesting to see.
Of course, they don't have the Ant-Man ride like Hong Kong Disneyland. Yep. And originally when these Avengers campuses were pitched, is that they would all have their own individual offerings and they would all have unique pieces of a story that would all tie together. I wonder how that will go, seeing as they're also going to have web slingers like California Adventure.
It's the European branch office.
Yes, of web. but very excited, especially for that Iron Man themed coaster. We also have only ever seen concept art of that as well. It showed an Iron Man animatronic in the queue.
It showed an Iron Man figure. We have no guarantees that was animatronic or what. So,
see, now I'm
at the point where unless Disney specifically uses the word audio animatronic in a press release, I no longer make any assumptions based on concept art, because they've taken the Kool-Aid from Universal and learned they can turn anything into a screen.
Yes, I suppose we must be cautious. This next one I'm super excited about, and I've been following tweets of construction. A Studio Ghibli theme park opening in Nagakute City, Japan next fall.
Yeah, when I make my big 50th birthday trip out to Asia, this is going to be a stop, I hope.
The park is going to be 5 different areas themed to movies like Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro, and I've specifically seen photos of the house, the family home from My Neighbor Totoro, with like the bathhouse room and the tatami floors, and it just like brought a tear to my eye because I loved these movies as a kid, and I'm not sure if they will have any attractions or if it will be kind of like an experience park.
Yeah,
some places in Japan.
They haven't really talked much anything about specifically if there are rides or, you know, what kind of attractions, but this looks like the kind of place that to walk around, to appreciate the atmosphere, to take selfies, more so than to have, you know, a thrill ride. But, you know, for people who grew up with these movies, I think that's going to be more than enough to just be able to step inside those worlds.
One thing that I would recommend looking into, if this is of any interest to you, I don't think it's still open, but over the summer, there was a Dragon Quest experience park that opened to promote the most recent Dragon Quest game, where they had kind of a LARP-style exhibit pop-up thing where you would go and fight slimes, and you would there were interactive bits where you had a bracelet that you would tap, and but there weren't any rides. It was all kind of at your own pace, walking around, experiencing the thing. Part of me wonders if that is the kind of mode for the Studio Ghibli theme park. But we will see as it gets closer. They are still very much in construction. But if you go to the studio's official Twitter page, they occasionally post photos. And they look so true to the original films. Looks great. And then next up will be some dateless things that we expect to come next year, but we don't have specific opening dates for those just yet. The revamped version of Finding Nemo the Musical, now titled Finding Nemo the Big Blue and Beyond at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, when the pandemic came and shut down all the live entertainment, you know, Animal Kingdom really suffered because there aren't a lot of rides at Animal Kingdom. And, two of the park's biggest draws were the Lion King show and the Finding Nemo show. The Lion King show did come back, not exactly the way it was before, but fairly close. But it really left a big gap, not just in the entertainment lineup at the park, but also, Actors Equity. There are a lot of union actors who worked on that show, a lot of talented puppeteers and musicians, singers who were out of a job. So I'm really happy for them. I don't know how many of them have been rehired. My gut tells me that this show will probably not have as large a cast, maybe not be as elaborate. I'd expect it to be shorter because the old Finding Nemo show was like 45 minutes and you would see a lot of kids just could not focus for that long. But the puppets will be back, and at least a couple of the songs from the original musical will be back. So I was a big fan of the old version, especially the original cast, and I will be very happy to see some of them back at work.
Yes. Though there is one change that will come with this. Instead of being themed to the original Finding Nemo story, this one will be set in the timeline of Finding Dory, the sequel to the original film. And when guests go to sit in the Theater of the Wild where the show takes place, they will be seated inside of the Marine Life Institute, which is a major location for the sequel film.
Yeah, and I believe the idea is that the tank gang from Dr. Sherman, the dentist's office, is there in the Marine Life facility with you and is telling you the story of Finding Nemo.
Yes. A bit of mental gymnastics on making that one make sense.
Because everything needs a framing story now.
Yes. And the next step, we've got Fantasmic here, but a ton of entertainment is returning to Disneyland, Walt Disney World next year. And specifically, one of them is Fantasmic Reimagined at Walt Disney World's Disney's Hollywood Studios.
This show needed a reimagining so badly.
Oh my gosh,
The version out in California has gotten several updates over the years. And while personally I liked the old Peter Pan segment better than the Pirates of the Caribbean segment, all those improvements over the years have definitely helped. Their dragon is spectacular. Their water screens are far sharper and brighter. Everything about the California version is better, except for having to fight for a patch of pavement along the River of America. The Orlando version, for me, has never, ever been as good as the California version. But they are finally giving it the tender, loving care that it needs. Most importantly, it looks like the Pocahontas segment, which I think we could all agree was the worst segment of the show.
Yep.
Seems like that has been removed. And while we don't have official confirmation from the artwork, we have hints that they're adding Aladdin, Moana, and Frozen 2 as new elements to the show. So yes. I just, I hope that, first of all, that the projections are finally up to snuff, that they get a better dragon, and that it doesn't have as many dead spaces. The pacing for the Orlando version was always very awkward, with just long periods where you're doing nothing but staring at bubbles. So if they can tighten that up and bring it up to the level of California, I'd be very excited.
I mean, if we get an Aladdin inclusion, Disneyland has an Aladdin segment.
Yes,
in
they
the
have
Disney
a
Princess.
Yeah, they have a segment. They have a flying carpet that comes up out of the stage for the Aladdin segment that replaced the Pinocchio segment that used to be. So maybe we'll get something similar.
Yeah. If it's all just kind of like overlaid with these new characters, but we get a new dragon, yeah. I would be happy. Even then, I would be so pleased. And then Seth specifically asked me to include this one.
Yes.
Disneyland will be reopening Fantasmic, Disneyland Forever, their fireworks spectacular, and World of Color will finally return. That lagoon has already been filled back up with water for 2022.
It has been a long, long road for World of Color. It before the pandemic, they had a mechanical malfunction, and that thing went down hard for like a year. They finally got it working again, and then the pandemic hit, and it hasn't come back since the pandemic. Obviously, a lot more repair work has been done on it recently. We've seen all the workings of it exposed, but they have said that it is coming back, and hopefully it will be the standard original version of World of Color. We've had some different seasonal and special event varieties of it, which are okay, but I want to see the OG World of Color again. I miss that.
I've only ever seen the holiday one, but man, it will be so tempting to try to plan a trip, especially with Fantasmic returning. If they could bring back the dining packages so I could guarantee a seat on that pavement, I would do it. I would totally
do it. Yeah, we were fans of the Wine Country Trattoria would do a fixed price dinner that would give you admission. Carthay Circle had one too, but that was a little pricey. The one at Wine Country is a pretty good deal. If you get that offered, jump on that.
Bring those back, Disney. Come on.
Yep.
And then our last bit for 2022 is Pirate River Quest coming to Legoland Florida Resort.
Yeah, this is seriously probably the oldest attraction in Central Florida that is being revived to be the newest attraction in Central Florida. If you don't know the history of Legoland Resort, it's built on what was Cypress Gardens, which dates back to long before Walt Disney World. In fact, Walt visited Cypress Gardens and kind of took a look at to see how they were doing Florida tourism before purchasing the land for Walt Disney World. And one of their vintage attractions were these boats that went through the canals of their gardens where they have these gorgeous old trees. When Legoland took over the property, the boats had been gone for many years. But my last trip out there, when Matt and I were there to meet Peppa Pig, we took a little trip through the park, and I noticed that they were doing restoration work on those canals that run through the gardens. And we found out shortly after that why, because they are going to do a themed Pirate River ride. It sounds a lot like the Jungle Cruise. It sounds like you're going to have a boat tour through the canals, and that there's going to be pirate themed scenes along the side of the river to look at. But I think it's great that they are, resurrecting one of the attractions that helped make Central Florida what it is today.
And I love that it has the potential to be a spieling ride, too, because I think that is so quintessentially theme park as far as attractions go.
And I love live spieling. And yes. We've lost so much of it over the years.
Legoland's bringing it back. They're doing it. But that is, as far as dates go, the major things that we can expect to happen for next year. And who knows what will get announced between now and then.
Who knows what we're going to get announced between now and when you listen to this.
Yes, because we are recording this about 2.5 weeks in advance.
Yeah, but I mean, if we learned anything, I mean, the IAPA convention going to that in November really cemented it, that the attractions industry is back. The people who are spending money think that we're looking at a big few years ahead, and that there's pent-up demand. There's a lot of tourists who are willing to go back to the parks, and it looks like a lot of the parks are taking that as a sign that it's time to invest and build new things, which is great for us because it gives us something to talk about on this podcast.
Exactly. And before we say our goodbyes, we have a quick word that we would like to share from our
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
And in our normal streams, this would be where I share our listener thank yous. But since we are recording this in advance, I don't have any to share this time. So instead, I will hand the baton over to Seth.
Well, I would like to thank each and every listener, whether or not you joined one of our club levels this year. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you hitting that like button, hitting that subscribe button. We appreciate you supporting our sponsor, Destinations with Character Travel. And most of all, we appreciate you heading on over to Apple Podcasts to give us a 5-star rating. You know, you didn't send us a president, a present
A
for, you know,
present.
you didn't even Venmo us any cash. It's
Come
okay.
on.
It's okay. You can show your appreciation by giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, leaving us a review, and then please follow all of our social media outlets to keep up to date on whatever happens in 2022. You can
Yes.
find me and my new books at theunofficialguides.com, on Twitter at the UG Series, or at the Unofficial Guides on Instagram. And Brittany, for the last time this year, where can they find you?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BrittanyTuttle. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, but also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, at attractions on TikTok, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with us for the past who knows how long at this point. But until 2022, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun, and we will see you next year.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Bye.